Good morning, everyone. Today is Wednesday, February the 22nd, 2023. This is the very last Sunday, or last Wednesday of this month, and we've been talking about Let's Talk Real Estate. Hi, I'm your host, Dr. Mary Seegers, and I have some phenomenal guests on today. And we're going to continue talking about real estate, but in a different aspect. We're going to be talking about mortgages, the interest rates, and all of that, refinancing, all that that's involved in the mortgage part of purchasing a home. And then also I want to talk about a title company that's been doing a phenomenal job making sure you got clear title on your home. But before all of that, before I introduce my guests, you know the drill. Grab your coffee cup. And usually I have my coffee cup, but this month I'm drinking water today. So grab your water, your orange juice, and join in on the conversation. Again, I want to welcome everyone. I'm your host, Dr. Mary Seegers, and I want to introduce my phenomenal guests today. I am so excited to have them bring their wisdom and their knowledge to my audience. First, I want to introduce you to my friend, Mary Jeffries Patrick. She has over 27 years of training and experience in the mortgage profession. And I like what she said. I'm trying to read her quote. She said, "If you find your passion, you will never have to work again, because what she does is not work. She's living out a lifetime passion and purpose in helping people, making sure they have home ownership in their homes." And so it's a joy to work with her because she's concerned about you as a person and be able to work through all the navigation that's going involved in mortgaging and able to get you signed on the dotted line for closing to purchase your home or your condo or to sell your home or whatever. So it's a great thing to have someone who loves what she does and doesn't consider it work, but a passion and a lifetime joy of sharing with people. So I want to welcome you officially. How are you this morning, Mary?
Great, Mary. How are you? Thanks so much for having me on.
Thanks for having you on to share your wisdom. I appreciate that. And I know the audience will as well.
You're quite welcome.
Also, too, I've met this gentleman, a very astute and professional. I met him through Mary, in fact. And his name is Tim Perkins. And let me tell you a little bit more about this gentleman. He has over 25 years in mortgage banking and working as an underwriter for half of that time period. And other time, he's worked in sales. So he knows what he's doing. But the past 8 years, his labor of love is working with real estate agents and mortgage professionals in the title insurance aspect of real estate. He is a licensed notary and enjoy every single closing. They are all different. Yes, yes, and yes. And the name of his business is Core Title, where closing counts. Welcome, Tim. How are you this morning?
Thank you. Thank you. I'm doing excellent, Dr. Mary. And really appreciate the opportunity to share some of our knowledge and experiences with your audience. Looking forward to it. It's awesome.
All right, so let's just jump right into it. Let's get started. You know, when we think about buying a home, and you know, I always say that's the largest investment that a person can make when they purchase a home. So it's very emotional, and it's very, it can be very frustrating too as well. But before they even buy the home, they have to make sure if they're approved to even buy, to get their mortgage. So Mary, I just want to start with you, if you don't mind. Tell me the process. If I send a client to you and say, you know, you need to get pre-approved, you need to make sure how much you can afford to before you get out in the real estate market, what would be your some of the counsel and the wisdom and the coaching that you would give a client, Mary, when they come to you seeking a mortgage?
Okay. Especially with your first-time home buyers that you refer to me, I try and take my time with them. I'm one of the old school people that's left out in the world today who really allows the client to come into the office if they want to sit down and talk to me and review the process, see it for yourself. The first thing I'm going to do is take a look at the credit. Once I determine that they are credit worthy, then I take the next step. There are certain documents that I will need to proceed. So I request the documents once we determine the type of loan that they're going to get. And here's where I have to be real informative of the type of programs that's out here. We have all different programs, which I'm affiliated with. We got your FHA, conventional, VA. What you want me to do is to tell you the best program for this client that I'm working with. So once I look at the credit, I determine if they're going FHA, conventional, or VA. I then have them send me certain documents, W-2s, bank statements, 401k accounts, their paycheck stubs. I need to review all of that. Their W-2 income must match their paycheck stub income, the year to date. If it does not match, then I need to research further and find out why is it lower or whether it's increasing. Maybe they've got a raise. Then I tell you, once I'm done with all of that material, because I must see it, because I don't want to give you a client and you ride them around for 2 weeks and come back and I can't do the loan. So it's very important that I do this for you, because every time you get in your car, you're using your gas and your time and all of your energy to try and get this client into a property. So I qualify them. I tell them how much they can buy, what their buying power is, whether they can go 150, 200, 500. Keep in mind, 500,000, keep in mind that once they purchase this home, after the first year, those taxes are going to increase. So all of my buyers, especially the first-time home buyers, I tell them to be very careful. If you're telling me, Mary, I can afford $1,500 a month for my monthly payment, including, you know, considering the rest of the bills, well, keep in mind, if I utilize that $1,500 right now and put you in a property at $1,500 a month, next year, it's probably going to go up $200 more, maybe in some cases, depending on how long that person, the seller of that property, had been living in the property. So you have to be careful with first-time home buyers. You got to let them know there's going to be a jump in payment next year. So let's keep you at $1,200, maybe right now starting out a month. So those are the things I look at. And they need to know it, because the following year, as soon as those taxes increase, guess who they're going to call? You and me, Mary.
I know.
What's going on, Mary? I told you I could only afford $1,500. Now it appears that I'm going to be paying $1,600, $1,700. That is taking me out of my comfort zone. So these are the things I try to do for your clients, to educate them as well as put them in the home of their dreams.
Wow.
So once I look at all the documents, the W-2s and everything, then I determine what type of house that they can buy. Many times the real estate agents will call me back and say, Mary, I need to go higher. And I have to have another conversation with my client to let them know, if we increase this loan amount, you're going to be paying more next year. So I hope I'm educating as I go along with the process. I hope I'm educating them as to where they need to be, not just now, for the future as well.
Wow. That's so, so important, because they get emotionally attached to a house and they forget about the cost that's going to be associated with the house. So yeah.
Yes. And one of the things I want to say is, once I tell a client 150, well, if we're showing them a property at $200,000, it's going to be very hard for you to bring them back down to a property that's going to be $150,000 when that's where they should be once they see the $200,000 property. So that is another thing I have to take in. I don't want you taking them out to a $200,000 house when they can only afford $150,000, but then you and I both gonna have a problem, because it's gonna take you even longer to put them into a property, because we took them too high in the first place. We know what we want, but we know what we can afford.
Absolutely. And that's why the communication, you know, with the client as well as with the professional mortgage person and the realtor is so crucial. You know, no miscommunication, but accurate and honest communication. So we'll be all on the same page. So mm-hmm. we'll go out, you know, and that helps. That helps the process so much better, as you know.
Yes.
Yes.
In addition to that, you have to remember that they're not first-time home buyers, got to realize you're not buying a property like for 30 years, even though it's a 30-year mortgage. Very few people remain in a property for 30 years. My mom did back in the old days. That's all they bought one house, that was it.
Right, stick and stay, right?
Stick and stay, no matter what. But most of the time, we're gonna move at least twice. The first house that you buy, you gotta understand that it's an investment. It's just taking the money out of one entity, putting it into the other. Yes. If you have a 401k, all you're doing is you're not spending that money. You're taking it out your 401k and you're investing it into another entity. You have to look at a house as an investment. That's why I say we don't do the stick and stay. We know that we're going to start you off and it's going to be a very moderately priced home. But maybe by the time you're in that house for 5-10 years, you're going to walk away with cash. And that's equity. Equity is nothing but money. So you can take that investment and go to a larger home of your dream.
Mm-hmm. Powerful. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. That's a simple way of explaining it, but it's so true. It could be just that simple if we follow the directions of your mortgage professional. Now, Tim, we don't want to leave you out. Can you share with a little bit the importance of having title insurance during this whole real estate process and how that fits into the mortgage process?
Not a problem. So title insurance companies really aren't really recognized until the end of the transaction, when we collect all the money, we collect all the paperwork, we collect all the invoices, and then we make sure mortgages get paid off, we make sure real estate taxes are paid up to date at the final closing of a real estate transaction. But normally we get involved because either the real estate agent or the mortgage lender has a relationship with us or myself and say, hey, Tim, we'd like you guys to be involved. And so what title insurance does is it ensures the integrity, or it ensures that on the day of closing, the house is free and clear of any liens, any taxes, any water bills. So we researched the last 25 to 40 years to make sure that every previous deed transfer was done properly. And we also make sure that if there's any mortgage and any previous transactions, they all got released and they're no longer a lien on the property itself. And in some cases, the seller may own the house free and clear, or the seller may have a mortgage. So we have to interact either with the other title company or with the seller and make sure we get a proper payoff statement. And so we're kind of like the legal, the legal aspects of the transaction, even though we don't act as lawyers. We always recommend that people enlist the assistance of an attorney if they want to have paperwork reviewed. But basically we make sure that the transfer is done properly. We get all the loan papers from the lender. We get them printed out. So at the closing table, I always like to make sure that the clients, the buyers especially, understand all the paperwork that they're signing. And having a previous mortgage experience really helped me out with that when I got into the title insurance business. And when I'm doing the closings as a notary, I'm able to explain all the different documents because I know why they got implemented in a mortgage package itself, because I was an underwriter at one point in time. So it's very easy for me to be able to explain different documents for clients. And my goal is at a closing is to make it a very joyous, happy occasion and just make sure the customer has no questions and they're kind of familiar and happy with the whole process coming to a conclusion, because a happy customer is a good referral source for the real estate agent and for the lender. So I enjoy what I do. I enjoy because as Dr. Mary confirmed, as every closing is so different, so it's always a different closing, different people. I enjoy meeting people and working with people. So but Yeah, and as an overview, what we do is we make sure that the real estate transaction, all the paperwork is collected properly. We communicate with all the parties involved. So we're kind of like a quarterback because we get all the paperwork at the end of the transaction, right? Right, Dr. Marion? Right, Mary? Jeffrey? Because, you know, we got to make sure everything is all at the table. We don't like to make last minute changes. So we have to have a lot of checks and balances in place to make sure that we catch everything before we get to the closing table. But are there times where we have to make adjustments at the last minute? Absolutely. And it's the kind of normal that we take care of them and move on and take care of it. So that's what we do. We make closings count.
That's powerful. Thank you so much, Tim. Well, you said something I want to maybe have you elaborate for the layperson who's not involved in the real estate like we are day and night. You said make sure there's no liens against the property or the home. What types of liens that could possibly stop from a person having a clear title on a home? Can you share some of that information, please?
Absolutely. There's typical, like when you buy a house, if you don't pay cash for it, you end up getting a mortgage. So that would be, you call it a mortgage or it's a lien on the property. If you don't pay IRS or state taxes, they can become a lien on the property. In fact, I have a closing. A gentleman got his own federal tax lien payoff for me yesterday. And you have real estate taxes. If they don't get paid, they can become a lien on the property. If, let's say, 10 years ago, somebody did work on the house and they never got paid, and you're the new owner to the house, guess what? They're going to come to you because you're the owner. They're going to attach a lien on the property. That's called what's called a mechanics lien, for somebody that did work on the house, they didn't get paid, and they're going to sue. So if they file a judgment and it gets accepted by the court, then it has to be dealt with. Other liens, you could have, if you don't cut the lawn and the city applies what's called a blight lien, that becomes a lien on the property. Water bills don't get paid. That can be a lien on the property. So I have another one where an estate, the estate is selling a house, and I've never seen this one, but one of the heirs to the house or to the estate was going through a bankruptcy, and the bankruptcy court put a claim of interest on the estate.
Wow.
So that was a brand. I've been doing this for like 9, 10 years or 8. And that's the first time I saw that one. So again, with all my years of experience doing this, I always learn something new every day too.
Wow. And that's the part.
Yeah, that's basically the definition of liens that could occur on mortgage properties.
That's why it's so important to pay all your bills. If you had a service done or a project done, make sure you pay it so they can't apply that lien against your property, because you do want the clear title, right? Clear title. Free.
Absolutely. And yeah. It can hold up closings, as you well know, right, Mary and Mary?
Yes, absolutely.
So, and that's where I think, having the experience in the title business and in the mortgage banking, I know how to communicate and who to communicate with to get those items cleared as quickly as possible.
Right. Wow. Is that it? Great, great information. Mary, let's just go back over to mortgages again, if you don't mind. Okay, so a first-time home buyer, they got their mortgage and we're at the closing table. We got a clear title. All is well, the keys are done. And a year later, and they said, the interest rates, as we know, have gone up in this from our what we've had before, 3%. I think we got spoiled with the 3%.
Exactly.
I can remember selling real estate was double digits, right? But,
Exactly.
So maybe a year later, they want to refinance. Can you share the process for doing that?
Sure. Once the client has closed a year later, we also have talked about the fact that the taxes are going to increase. So now we're in a kind of a hairy market. It's not a bad market, but you have to look at where we came from. During COVID, all we had was lower interest rates to keep everyone in the house. So normally, so this is not really a normal market. Right now it's turning into a, back then it wasn't a normal market, but right now it's a normal market. Mm-hmm. So many of our clients is closing now at 6.5% interest rates because that's just what they are. But that's not a bad rate. Prior to COVID, they were in the five. So I wanted everyone to realize that it's not, it, you shouldn't panic now because we're back to normal again. And that's a good thing. Well, what happens is that once we get a pool of mortgages and the rates start to fall, so if I close you at 6.5%, year later, your taxes goes up. The rates are now back at 4.5%. So what I want to do is go in and redo your mortgage, tap into the equity into the property and lower your interest rate, which is going to take you back down to that $1,500 that we talked about, or even lower in many cases. So you'll take a hit on the taxes going up. However, I'm there to support you. I'm never going to go away. I'm here a year later. You're going to call me, Mary, my payment went up. Well, let's take a look at it. We're going to look at the fact that the taxes has increased, but yes, the rates are lower. Many cases, if you bought FHA, you put down less than 20%. The market is going up quite a bit. You may have, depending on how much money you put down in the property and how fast the market has increased in growth, you may have 20% of equity. We may have started off on an FHA, which is a great government loan, putting down the lower amount. But right now you've got 20% of equity. You've got great credit, 680 FICO scores. We're going to take you out of that FHA loan. And with those loans, there's what we call mortgage insurance. And I can't go into, we don't have enough time to go into explaining all of the how mortgage insurance work, PMI, MIP for FHA, PMI for conventional, but you have that insurance on there because you put down less than 20%. Mm-hmm. When you're putting down less than 20%, the lender has more skin in the game than you do. Once you get 20% of equity into the property, I can then drop that mortgage insurance as well, which in many cases, it could take you down to less than what you originally started to pay. So those are the things that happen with interest rates. Always look at right now, this is a blessing that we're going back up in interest rates because of the fact that it's telling you that the market is getting stable. We're getting healthy. We're back to where we should be. Once we do that, then you got a pool of people. It's always going to be purchases and refis. Now we deal with a pool of people that have the higher interest rates, they're gonna drop the rates and it's gonna help everyone. And we're gonna go, I will redo the mortgage and you'll get the lower payment. Make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that process doesn't take quite as long, right? I mean, it's.
With my experience, because I've been doing it so long, it takes me about 3 weeks to do it.
Wow.
Most of the time I've done all my research before I get with the client. So I know once I get it in the system, we do check the values in the area. And those are the comps. What we mean by comps is that around your area, how many houses, how much have they increased? So we check the area to make sure that there's enough equity in there. And believe it, we want to take you out of that mortgage insurance. We want this market to grow. So it's more, the more people that buy, the better we are. We're going to get past all of these rates. But keep in mind, right now, the rates are great. This is where we should be. You're going to start to see our summer. You're going to start to see houses popping on the market. It's going to be good for everyone. Those all these buyers that wanted to purchase before, they are going to be able to do it now because what? We're going to have more inventory on the market. So what I do is qualify you for the new house, even though if you have a current home, I also know how to qualify you for both properties. So there's a lot that we can do to help you, right, to help ourselves to get a healthy market.
Wow. Powerful, powerful. Another question for probably for both of you, since Tim, you were in mortgage as well. What is the difference between a 15-year mortgage, a 20-year mortgage, is there such a thing, and then the 30-year mortgage? Other than long
I'll take
term.
It first. I'll take that first. And Tim, you can piggyback, okay? 15-year is that. That's less time. Mm-hmm. You're saying, oh, this is the house of my dream. I bought because I had Mary as a loan officer. So we know my payment is going to be, I'm going to have room to move up. Right. Once you get into a property, you can do a 15, like Mary said, it's 15-year, 20, 25, and 30. Once you get that 15-year, you automatically drop the mortgage insurance. Your payment is increased more on a 15-year than it is on a 30-year because what? You're reducing the time that you're going to be paying on the property. Mm-hmm. So where the 30-year payment may be, use $1,500 again. The 15-year may be $200-$300 more per month, but you're paying that property off, that home off faster. 25-year, if a person has purchased a home, we're talking about they've been in this property now for at least, let's say, 10 years. They want to refi. They want to take a little cash out, but they also want to keep their payment conservative. So what they may want to do, because they've got a lot of cash, they've got a good deal on the property, they got cash, they may want to go in and do a bathroom, $15,000, $20,000. I can do a 30-year or I can do a 25-year. If they've been in the property for at least 10 years, then I may go in and do a 25-year. When I close, I'm not going to take them back to 30-year because it makes no sense. I can still give them the cash that they need and they're not losing any time. Mm-hmm. They're going to have the same amount of time, just a couple years that they're going to take. You can go back, if that makes sense. Instead of they've been in there for 10 years, now I'm going to go in, I'm going to cut off 5 years because of the fact that they're are going to lose that time, but they're going to do a 25-year instead of going all the way back to a 30-year, and they're going to keep their payment lower. You have to listen to the client. If they want the payment to stay lower, you say, okay, but I think I can do a little bit better. I may be able to get you an even a little bit better rate if you take a 25-year instead of going back to the 30. So 15 years is the ideal for a person that's going to keep the property and never going to sell. But you're going to have a higher payment.
And well, let's show you know, just to piggyback, Mary, I mean, you said it right at the end there. You listen to the client to see what their goals are when they come to you. And you do that all the time because it's one of the first things that you do with the customer. And then, so again, then because you know the different programs that you have, there's probably four or five factors, Mary, that go into determining the different mortgage programs. And, you know, Mary Jeffries knows all those because she's been doing it for so long. And so she'll guide you to the 15-year, the 20, the 25, or the 30, based on what the client's goals are. So, you know, that was perfect, is that you listen to the client, and then based on your knowledge of what's available, you give them, you know, their product, and you put them in the right spot. The difference between the 15, 20, or 25, or 30-year mortgage from a just an overview is, sometimes there's a better interest rate, and Mary knows that. Mary Jeffries knows that. So that's really, you know, the key is listening to the client and then figuring out the different product, because she's got so many combinations of variables that she's looking at. So she's got to listen closely and, you know, put the client in the right spot.
Right. One other thing I want to say. Because a client may say, Mary, I want a 15-year, I will look at the rate and look at the benefit. Why do you want this 15-year? If I see it's going to put them in harm's way, I may suggest take the 25-year. You can always take a 30-year mortgage and pay it off in 15 years. You guys know that.
Right.
But you're not liable for that higher payment. So if you lose your job, if the wife loses her job, if you max yourself out at trying to pay the house off on a 15-year with the shorter term, then if one person loses the job and there's only one household income now, you would be struggling. So sometimes I'll suggest, once I talk to my client, well, let's do it this way. Make an extra payment per year, and you're going to turn the 30-year into a 15-year, and that would help you more so than if we're basing everything on a two-household income. You want to be able, for one person in that home, to be able to make that payment. So if something happens, that you're not in harm's way. Because once you fall behind on your mortgage, it's hard to catch it up. So if someone loses their job, you're still good because you prepared yourself for it with one income instead of two.
That's powerful, yes. I like that. Have a 30 and you can actually make those extra payments without penalty, right?
Exactly.
Make it a 15-year mortgage.
Because back in the old days, there used to be what we call prepayment penalties, meaning if I borrowed the money from you, I'm going to have to pay you six times that amount just to get out. Say I bought a house and 5 years later, I hit the lottery and I want to pay it off. Well, they used to charge prepayment penalties. Mary, I know you know about this because you were in the business back then. Well, right. We don't have those type of loans anymore. So you only pay for what you owe. I thought that was ridiculous anyway, a prepayment penalty. I'm going to pay you six times the amount that I borrowed just to get out of the loan early or to refi. So we don't have those type of loans anymore. After the meltdown of 2008, all of those are gone.
Yes, powerful. So let me just jump over to Tim real quick. Let's say they're not actually wanting to buy a property, but they're thinking about a house. This has happened to me. I had a client who lived out of state, and they were thinking about a relative home that lived here in Michigan, and they wanted to know was it a clear title on that. Do you do title searches as well, Tim?
Yeah, you know, if so you're a newer client, but you do a good amount of business, or if Mary called me and said, hey, Tim, I've got a client, can we research? I mean, if it's not for very specific, like a legal purpose, but it's just they want an idea, I can do a search and do it within 24 hours or less. And we could see what's on the title and, you know, give an indication. But if it's for something that's more specific and let's say they wanted to utilize the information for a more specific purpose, could become more important later on, then I'd probably say, let's do a proper property, what we call is a property search. Mm-hmm. And we would charge a small fee, you know, $150 to $250 to do that. And that way it would make it more official. So depending on if they need just a cursory overlook or a more official document, we can provide that. That's not a problem.
It's good. It's good to know.
With what Tim is saying, I want to piggyback on that as well. Tim is my guy. He's going to make sure that if I have questions, if you tell me that you went through a divorce, you don't know whether your husband, there's federal taxes out there, you don't know whether he paid them or not. A lot of times I'll call Tim, I'll get him involved very early and say, Tim, hey, listen, see if there's any liens on the property, because if there's liens on the property, it's going to eat up part of the equity. So he will do that for me as well, which I really appreciate.
That's a good service, yeah. Because you want to make sure that that process, that closing, will have no hiccups
No hiccups at all. Especially when you're refiing, because you only got X amount of dollars that you're dealing with. And if the client want $10,000, well, if they found a lien out there on the property for five, that's eating up a lot of the income, the proceeds that they want. So that's why it's very important that our title was clear, mm-hmm. especially it's a lot of people get divorces and a lot of things don't get paid. And that's what Tim does for me as well.
Yeah, powerful. So I tell you, it's now is a good time to buy a home.
Perfect.
Absolutely, right?
Yes.
Always a good time. It's like, I like how you took that. It's an investment. You know, it's the largest investment that a person is going to make. It's going to be shelter for their family, and that's going to be a worth their investment. So anytime is a good time to have a beautiful home, right?
Exactly.
So you got to go through the process of getting pre-approved. Do you see a lot of cash deals going on now, Mary?
Tim would probably see more. I refer a lot of cash deals that I get. I would refer them to him, because if they're doing a cash deal and there's no real estate agents involved, to me, I don't know how anyone would go out and purchase a home without having a real estate agent. It's like going to court without an attorney. Exactly. Makes no sense to me. I don't care. I can never understand that, because of the fact that there is so much involved and you can't know everything. I don't care what Ivy League school you went to. This is a different beast here. And what you're gonna do, Mary, is protect their interests. You're gonna make sure they have a clean title, and you're gonna put them with someone like Tim that's gonna help them with this. So the cash deals, I'm always gonna refer. If someone tells me I have cash and I'm buying, I'm gonna call Mary right away. I'm gonna refer that client to her and say, Mary is the person that you should try to get this written up for you, because there's still purchase agreements and everything that's involved with that.
Absolutely.
Then I'm going to say, Tim is the guy that I will refer to you to get the title work, get the him involved, make sure there's no liens on this property. And Mary is going to write it up. She's going to take care of the front part, and Tim is going to handle the back part, and they're going to work together as a team. And I'm always going to be here for support, because I don't need to be involved with the cash deal. The money is already there. There's no mortgage involved.
Absolutely.
But you need a real estate agent. You
absolutely
definitely need a real estate agent.
Professional title. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Just to add to that too, I mean, probably for the last 3-4 years, I've been working, when I get a chance, I'll work with some for sale by owners. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it kind of, amazes me sometimes that people don't bring on the attorney. Mm-hmm. To do the sale, because I know there's some very smart people out there, and they can see what the houses are selling for in the neighborhood, but really it's a lot more complex than that, right, Dr. Mary?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There's a lot of research that goes on and a lot of experience, because certain things that sell houses and certain things that aren't as important. So when you look at a house to do a listing, I'm sure you point all those different things out to the client to say, well, we need to do this, or we should stage it this way to make it look a little nicer, because an extra $5,000 or $10,000, $15,000, or even just the experience, like in this environment, when you do a listing, if you price it appropriately, you're gonna get 20 offers, versus if you put it too high, you really get one or two. And that's where today's environment, that really is the experience level of your real estate agent. So, we get involved with cash deals, but similar to cash deals, like the for sale by owners, I always recommend, just like, if you don't sell it and you don't get what you want after a couple of weeks or so, use a real estate agent.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I work with a lot of investors as well, and they oftentimes will do the cash deal. They like the
cash.
So they'll want to turn it around, do a flip out of a flip or whatever.
Well, yeah, just to mention too, if you mentioned the investors, mm-hmm. I do provide a service of looking at different title aspects for investors to make sure that they can get a good deal. So I don't know if you've ever utilized that, Dr. Mary, but that's one thing that we do is provide different services to help investors so they can make a better decision on investments.
That's a great service because there's many investors out there, you know, so that's great. What about commercial property, Tim? Is there any difference for this title for commercial property versus residential?
If there's a lender involved, they're going to have certain requirements on how they want the title commitment to be completed. And sometimes that involves getting a survey. Mm-hmm. So a survey is where a company goes out there and finds the metal pins in the ground to identify the property lines to see if the buildings are on the property or if they're over the property line or not. So the lender is going to have requirements on commercial loans. And then when you sell commercial real estate from the seller's point of view, 9 times out of 10, you're going to have a survey that you've done in the past when you bought it. So you'll have that available. And also, depending on the type of property, there's different insurance endorsements that we would add to the title policy itself. Mm-hmm. And so that's usually I'll ask up front, you know, depending who's all involved and the type of property, commercial real estate it is, what type of endorsements we would add. So that's a big difference between residential and commercial. I do want to add, for residential title insurance, there's two types of policies you could get. One is called the enhanced or Eagle policy, and then the other one is a normal title policy. So the enhanced policy is about $100 to $300 more expensive, and it does provide a couple added benefits, but I would have an attorney explain the differences if somebody was, say, I mean, I could explain it, but we'd have a whole separate session for that. Because it gets legalities of how title, different things that could attack the title, the integrity of the title to the property.
Okay. Great.
So I do see some clients, they'll want the Eagle policy when they buy a property.
Yes. That's interesting. Mary, do you also provide mortgages for commercial property, or are you primarily with the residentials?
No, I only do 1 to 4 units.
Okay.
Commercial, I don't get involved with that. I get a lot of calls on it, but I do a lot of referrals because I want to make sure that the client is taken care of, just like they would my mother, brother, or sister. So I can't just refer them to anyone if I don't know the process. So I always have those type of clients to go to the bank of their choice.
Right.
But I still would refer the deal to Tim to do the title work.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yes.
These are referrals that I get. I'll give it, tell Tim, you may want to try and help them with the title to make sure it's clear.
Absolutely, that's so important.
Yes.
So you say units up to 1 through like apartments, complexes, and duplexes.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, of course, mm-hmm. condos and all of that.
Condos. Mm-hmm. 1 to 4 units. A lot of investors want, if they want to purchase a 4 unit, I can go as high up to 4 units. Condominiums, of course, I do those. And single family homes. That's what I specialize in.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Mm-hmm. This has been a great conversation. I was just checking on Facebook if there are any questions. I see some of your past clients, Cleavan Neely is on. So a lot of people are watching because this is so important information for potential new buyers, home buyers, and as well as those who have already purchased and how they can refinance and make their home an investment for them. So I want to have you guys both close with some encouraging words, how they can reach out to you. How can my audience connect with you, Tim? How can my audience connect with you, Mary? And we'll start with you, Tim, some encouraging words at the end. And then, of course, your information and contact information. And thank you for joining us today. I really enjoyed it.
No, I definitely appreciate the opportunity to share some experience and knowledge with you and your group and your fans out there. What I would just say is, we end up getting referred by the professionals on the front line. And that would be, you know, your real estate agent, Dr. Mary, and your mortgage professional, which is Mary Jeffries. I always kind of take a back seat, even though our part is integral in the process. And I'm the last person that you're going to see at the table. So, you know, all I would say is listen to your professionals. They are, especially the ones that we have on this, they're very good at what they do. They bring their experience to the table, and they can expect what's going to happen in the future because of what they've gone through. So I would definitely lean on them. They've got their network of people that they deal with to bring to the table, so they can pretty much solve any problems that could come up when it comes to a real estate transaction. So, and I can tell they all love what they do. They have a passion for it. So that's 99% of it. If you can find people that have passion for what they do, you're on the right track. First time home buyers, again, go out and get that mortgage pre-approval and then work with your real estate agent. Those always work out the best. You'll end up getting a smoother transaction when it comes to finding a house. And then people in the investment, you want to buy fix and flip, or you want to rent properties, again, make sure if you're paying cash, you know, utilize your real estate agent, and she can get me involved and we can work as a team to help you out. If you need a mortgage, then again, you've got your network here. We've got a whole team developed that we can really help you out if you want to expand how many properties you own. So it's a great time. It's always a good time to buy property. You just have to sit down and make sure that, you know, you put together the right plan and execute. So.
And I just want to share this true story. I just had a closing, I guess it might've been a month ago with Tim, and the experience was awesome. I mean, he was so professional. I mean, he greeted us, and my client, you know, she was a first time home buyer and she thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, and we took pictures, you know, you got your keys. And so the closing process was just, it was wonderful. And I've had some closing experience, trust me, but that was a jewel. And I enjoyed working with you, Tim. And it was great. It was just awesome. Thank you for your professional service. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And, you know, everybody can reach out to you. You know how to get in touch with me. If they want to reach me direct, Core Title, go to coretitle.com. And if you look in the Detroit office, you can find me. I got some goofy pictures up there.
Yeah. And Mary, if you want to share your last encouraging words and how they can reach out to you as well.
Yes. Well, Mary, I want to thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to discuss mortgages, because that's my baby. I love what I do. And once you become my client, you're not just my client, you're my family. So I'm always going to be here for my clients. Like I said, I love what I do. And the teams that we have put together is awesome. I love the fact that we can depend on each other to bring our best to the table and to give people the truth, whether they want to do business or not. If you give them the truth, you're good when you walk away, if they decide to walk away. One of the things that I've always said is that if we put our hands together, there's nothing we can't do. I know it appears to be a tough time right now in the real estate market because of where we were, but you have to keep in mind where we were, where no one was working, everyone was at home. They had to create these low interest rates. We may not never see that again, but it's okay. It's still a great investment, and this is where we're getting healthy. Like I wanted to go back to say, this is where you want to try and purchase a home. One of the things I tell my clients is that once you decide you want to purchase a home, you will never be broke again. I can't imagine not having some type of real estate, because now if you're looking around, this is a clear example that I want everyone to look at now. These properties that they're renting out, two bedroom apartments, is $1,500. $1,800, sometimes $2,000. Michigan doesn't have that type of income. So if you're gonna be smart and wise with your money, save it. Save it and buy your own home. File your own taxes on your house. Don't make somebody else rich. And that's what I want to leave with you guys. I am available from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. with any questions. My phone number is 248-798-9217. Even if you just want advice. I didn't always know this. I didn't always know mortgages. I didn't always know finance. So now that I do, I would like to share it with everyone. Because if you're informed, you can make a better decision. And I'm here for you.
Wonderful. This has been so awesome. I trust that your wisdom has really given people the courage to step out and do what they want to do, is buy that dream home and be at the closing table, sign on the dotted line and say, I am a homeowner.
So homeowner.
Yes, homeowner.
Yes.
Again, thank you, my guests. I just want to share with my audience, you know, next month is the month of March. And that is the month that's been dedicated to as Women's History Month. And I'll have some phenomenal women coming and sharing their accomplishments that they made. And, you know, they say give honor where honor is due. So look out for that. I'm looking excited about some of them are local, some of them are within the states. But I know it will be a great opportunity just to honor some women that's done some phenomenal things in their lives when their beginnings might have started small, or people said you're not going to amount to anything, but yet they were able to dream their dreams and accomplish their goals. So some of them are local, some of them are out of state, but you will enjoy that episode as well. So be looking out for information and promotion about that, and we'll see you next month. Wow, this already 2 months are down already for this month of this year, 2023. So we have 10 more months ahead of us, and it's going to be a phenomenal year. Like I said, if only you believe. Until next week, bye for now. Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you so much.